And a little while ago, some of you who know me know that I went to visit a particular home. And it was a particularly large home, I have to say. It had 775 rooms. It's pretty big. It had 1,514 doors, 760 windows. So, ladies, I don't think you would like to be cleaning those windows. They had 37,000 guests. So I don't know how many guests Mark and Jean have this morning, but imagine if you had 37,000 guests. And anyone, any ideas which home I visited? Buckingham Palace. It wasn't the Parkinson's or the Chirashes. It was Buckingham Palace. And Buckingham Palace is amazing. To be honest, you don't see a lot of the home. You see a grand palace, you see many rooms, you see the place where the Queen welcomes all the dignitaries, the royalty, where she gives knighthoods, where she appoints prime ministers, where she has her conversations with the prime ministers every week. You see the state rooms and the incredible kind of features in the palace that are there to impress. You know, let's face it, they're there to impress. You know, it's not a kind of practical kind of house that you see, it's the impressive kind of house. And I actually need a volunteer today. So Danny, as you're on the end there, would you come and join me for a second? Because when I went to Buckingham Palace, come and join me on the stage, Danny. I actually... Was that your wife? Oh, she's in kids. So when I went to Buckingham Palace, I needed a ticket. So I went and I booked online. So Danny, I have a ticket for you there for Buckingham Palace. And it's quite expensive to get in, yes. And I need it. And it also has on it the time that you can actually go. So not only do you need a ticket, but you actually have to turn up at the right time as well. And we were a few minutes early, but we were told that we needed to go away and come back because we needed to be here at the time because we obviously didn't want to miss it. We then went through the security and had our bags checked through the metal detector. I couldn't bring that this morning. But the next thing that I got was a tour guide. So we got given this amazing set of headphones. Wasn't quite this set of headphones, but you just get the picture. And so you put the headphones on because you're going into this incredible house, looks gorgeous, on an amazing tour. And you're guided by security guards and red ropes. And then you see occasional no entry signs. So you can't go in certain of the rooms, you know, because you're actually going to look around the bit that they've given you to look around. And before we went, we also bought, like every good tourist, the souvenir guide, so that we could have a look before we were going. So we set off to the palace, and it was amazing, and we absolutely loved the rooms that we saw, the costumes, the treasures. We love reading about the history of Buckingham Palace and listening to so much through our headset here. So much going on, and it was really significant. You know, when you go to a place like Buckingham Palace, you're in a place where it's a power seat, isn't it? It's where decisions are made, it's where people are guided, and I just want to encourage you, if you're a Christian, pray for our leaders. You know, there's so many people will talk about the leaders, they'll ridicule leaders. You know, we've seen it all over the press recently, you know, with Brexit, with what's gone on in America. You know what, let's not get involved in that. Let's pray for our leaders, because we can do something about it. We can pray into that situation. That's a freebie. But on our tour, we got to see lots of incredible rooms, as I said, and we were so dressed. And then when we ended up in the garden at the back of the palace, there was obviously the nice gift shop that you could purchase items from. And they also had a specially built cafe. And as I went round the palace, I didn't go round as family, but I went round as a tourist. Because Buckingham Palace is actually a family home, has been since 1761. And, you know, our Queen grew up there with her sister, and her children grew up there too. But when the family come home, they don't dress like Danny, do they? They don't get the headset, they don't get the souvenir guide, they don't look for the no entry signs. But you see, when the family come home, they don't need any of that. They don't need the tour guide because it's their home. They know all about the palace. They don't need a ticket because they can walk in for free. There's no entry signs. Do you know what? They even dismantle the toilets and the cafe. Like, it's a full-blown cafe and toilets. They take the whole thing down when the family come home because they use their own. And they don't need the headset. Thank you, Danny. Let's give Danny a round of applause. Chrissy, can you just unravel this for me? Thank you. You see, the royal family don't need any of those things. They don't even need to go into the cafe at the end because they don't need to take memorabilia home. They don't need to take things about themselves home because they know who they are, because they're the royal family. And it doesn't matter whether they're good at being the royal family or whether they make loads of kind of gaffes when they're being the royal family, because they are the royal family and they can't actually change that. And it got me thinking, would I make a good royal? Would you make a good royal? Some of you think you will. Those who have got great self-confidence think they will. Okay, should we have a straw poll? Who thinks they'd make a great royal? Okay. Who thinks it will be a bit tough? Awesome. Well, this is the title of my message, and it's what I'm going to spend the last few minutes thinking about. My title is this: Do I Make a Good Royal? Or the girly title is, Do I Wear My Crown Well? So you can take your pick on that one. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to see what the Word of God says. Father God, I thank you that you're here with us this morning. We thank you for this incredible time where we can be together, where we can worship you, and we can bring Joseph and dedicate him to you. And Father, we pray that you will speak to us this morning. God, I pray that each one of us will go out changed because we have been in the presence of God. I pray, God, that we will go out better equipped to be who we are, God, in our week, in our days ahead. God, I pray that you will help us to be stronger, to be wiser, to be more equipped to face all our challenges and everything, God, that we walk into. We thank you, Jesus, for your incredible presence. I pray, God, that we'll make great royals. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. So maybe you think I'm a little bit deluded this morning. Do you think I'm a bit deluded?
No.
Okay, the guys at the front are with me. Guys at the back, are you with me? Okay, on the back row, are you with me? You may not have worked out. We kind of like a bit of participation because it helps me to preach well, and it also helps you guys to be engaged. So, let's like be in this. It's awesome. Anyway, as I said, I'm really not that deluded. But what if you could be royalty? Would you be interested? Like, so what do the royal family have? The royal family have loads of rights and privileges, don't they? You know what they have? They could do anything, anytime. So the queen could ask any of her kind of subjects, right, could you take me here or take me there? And they would do it because she's the queen. So she has power. She has wealth. The queen has land and houses. She has cars and clothes. She has the opportunity to do good. Would you like the opportunity to do good? Even if the wealth doesn't appeal, but would the wealth appeal if you could do good with it? I reckon so. What about the fame? Would you be up for the fame? No. But what if that fame gave you influence? What if it gave you influence to speak into the issues of our day? What if it gave you influence to change things? Then maybe then you would be more interested. But it's unlikely, really, to be honest, for any of us to discover that we are part of our earthly royal family. But if you read your Bible at all, then you will read that God offers us the gift of being royalty. I don't know whether you realize that as a Christian this morning. If you know God, then you are royalty. So the question is, do you make a good royal? Do you wear your crown well? I've got three questions for you this morning as we unpack that a little bit. And the first one is this. Question one, are you wearing royal robes? You see, a good royal knows how to dress, don't they? You never really see the queen inappropriately dressed, do you? She always looks really elegant, and she always looks amazing because she has people that help her to dress well. She has designers, she has ladies in waitings, and they help her to dress well. And the queen has loads and loads and loads and loads of outfits. And on the tour, we actually saw, they had an exhibition. It was incredible. We saw, you know, a coronation gown. We saw a christening gown, a wedding dress. We saw her military uniform because the queen is obviously the commander-in-chief of all our armed forces. We saw outfits that they went for dinners in. We saw outfits that she wore on the royal tours. And, you know, she wears different garments in different seasons. And the Bible also says that we have garments that we are clothed with. So if you turn to Isaiah 61, I'm going to read a few verses. Give me a nod when you've got it. Isaiah 61, it might not come up on the screen actually because I didn't give them the verses. Sorry, guys. It says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion." And then here it goes. It says, "To bestow," so to give, "to put on them a garment," sorry, "a crown of beauty." A crown of beauty. That's what God puts on your head, a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And then it finishes with, "Then they will be called oaks of righteousness." They'll be strong. When they have these things on them, they'll be strong. "A planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." So what garments are you wearing this morning? If you know Jesus, if you have a relationship with God, do you have a crown of beauty on your head? Do you have an oil of joy, a garment of praise? You know, whatever you're feeling, do you put on a garment of praise? How do you live? How do you enter a room? Then verse 10 says this, "I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness." He has given me garments of salvation. You know, we don't need to live in a state of despair. We don't need to live in a state of mourning. Sure, there's times and the seasons, but God says in his word, he says, "I'll give you a garment of praise to put on over the top of it." You know, when you're feeling, you know, at your worst, when you're struggling the most, when you feel like wailing, when you feel like, you know, going into yourself, God says, "I will give you joy. I will make you dance. I will give you a crown of beauty and an oil of joy." This morning, do you want to be clothed in those things? Do you want to be clothed in strength and dignity, as it says in Proverbs 31? Do you want to be clothed with power from on high so that whatever situation you face, you can be clothed in those kind of garments? As well as ceremonial robes, the Queen also has a military uniform, doesn't she? So she has to be at certain events and military processions and things like that. And so she has all these military uniforms. Some of them are absolutely incredible. But it got me thinking, what is our military uniform? Because the Bible talks about another uniform. It says that we have the armor of God. If you are a Christian, you have the armor of God. It says you can be clothed in the belt of truth. You have the truth around your waist. You have the breastplate of righteousness. You know, it's not our righteousness because we mess up, but it's the righteousness of God that we have in us. We have the gospel of peace. You know, as I prayed for Joseph, that he would be a bringer of peace. You know, as Christians, that's what we are. We are bringers of peace, the good news of peace. We have a shield of faith. You know, when we're struggling with things, when we're wondering, is God going to come through? We can have a shield of faith where, God, I believe that you will come through in this area. I believe and I trust you in this area. The helmet of salvation, the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. You know, do you ever read your Bible? Do you know that this Bible is absolutely full of wisdom for life? It tells us how we can live well. You know, my Bible's marked full of all sorts of highlighting and scribblings because I love it. You know, it gives me incredible wisdom for life. And this is what we clothe ourselves with. And then it ends up saying we clothe ourselves with prayer as well. So how are you doing? Do you want to live with those garments on, guys? What an awesome life we would have if we were crowned with beauty, had strength and dignity, and were a bringer of peace. So my first question is, are you wearing royal robes? My second question is this, how are you reigning? How are you reigning? So the Queen of England is actually a servant. I don't know if you ever think about that, what she does. The Queen serves our nation absolutely incredibly. She sacrificed her life, really, to be an ambassador wherever she goes for the United Kingdom, this incredible place that we live. But you never look at the Queen and think that she's a servant. You don't look at her and think that she's like a slave or a servant, because she rules and reigns and she lives in a palace and she was a daughter of a king. But she serves well. And when Jesus came, he came into a nation that was so tied up in doing, so tied up in trying to get it all right, so looking down and trying to dot the I's and cross the T's, trying to make sure they fulfilled all the law that they thought they should do. And Jesus came to bring freedom. See, Jesus came to serve us, but he also came to reign. And if you're a child of the King, then you too can reign like that. See, it's so easy for us all to go back to rules, and it's so easy for us to worry about all the stuff that we have to do. And whether or not you're a Christian, however you live, you know, our culture is so fast and so busy. There's always stuff to do all the time. It's so easy to get tied up in all the responsibilities that are going on around us. You know, we can be looking after the home, the family. We can be at work. We can be trying to keep the in-laws happy. We can be looking after our kids, our extended family. We're trying to look after our career. We're trying to keep our husband happy. We're trying to look after the kids, have our quiet times. There's so many things that come into our lives, so many things that cry for our attention. Busy, busy, busy. Everything has to fit in. We try and please everyone and keep people happy. And sometimes we just find it hard to say no. Let's be honest. We just find it hard to say no because we want to do the right thing. And sometimes our lives can feel like a big, long to-do list. And I think my to-do list is reasonable, but I reckon the Queen's to-do list is probably a little bit longer. What do you reckon? I reckon she has a long to-do list. But you know, whenever you see the Queen doing her royal duties, you never see her frantically dashing around. You know, you never see her kind of like running, oh, I forgot my bag today. Oh, my papers are there. Where's my speech? My keys. Where have I put my keys? You know, to be fair, she probably doesn't have to worry about her keys. But do you get what I mean? You never see that, do you? Because she performs her acts with dignity. She looks up. And one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 110. It says, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? I lift my eyes up. You know, if you read into any of the Queen's, any of her life, you know that she follows God. You know that she is looking for her Savior, for Jesus Christ, who is her strength. And that's what this psalm says. You know what? A servant looks down at all he has to do. But a son of a king, a daughter of a king, looks up into the eyes of her father. Above all the stuff, above the worries, above the cares, even above the responsibilities, the jobs, the emails, you know, Instagram, whatever, guys, you look at all the time. You know what? You can look up into the face of your heavenly father, because God doesn't want us to serve him or just do life in that state of being a slave or a servant. But he wants us to do life looking up, being a son or a daughter of the king. I'm going to invite the band to come up now as I go into my last question. And my last question is this. Question 3, will you live in your inheritance? Will you live in your inheritance? So we've looked at the garments that you're wearing. We've looked at how you're reigning. But the last question is this, will you live in your inheritance? See, our queen inherited the throne off her father, King George. And she lives with that position. That is her inheritance. But you know what? We also have an inheritance. We have an inheritance, a rich inheritance. We have an inheritance from God. I'm going to highlight 3 things from our inheritance. The first one is this, from Revelation 3, verse 21. The last book in the Bible, and it says, I will give you the right to sit on my throne. You know, I've said we get the right to rule. The Bible says that we are to be the head and not the tail. We are to bring influence and change nations. That's what we do. If you're a Christian today, that is who you are. You are an influencer of nations. I've already said that. The second thing we do, we have direct access to God. Do you know that if you're a Christian or not this morning, you can have direct access to God, to the King of Kings, not just the Queen of England, but the King of Kings. Hebrews 4 verse 16 says, let us approach the throne of God with confidence so that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Do you know what? You can approach God. So many people are searching for something spiritual. You know, if you're here, you're not a Christian today, you know, maybe you're just wondering, you know, is there something out there? You know, is there a God? Does spiritual stuff, is it really true? Is it, you know, you kind of sense there's something there, but maybe you're not really sure what it is. You know, you can walk into Preston in the town centre and you can see signs that, you know, offer tarot cards and mediums, spiritualist nights, because people want to know. You know, people are asking questions, you know, what is after this? Is there more than this? And they don't always look to God because they don't see the church full of his power. But God is here. You know, we experienced his power and his presence in our worship. You know, don't go looking in all the wrong places. God wants to meet with you. He wants to show you his power, the true spiritual life. The Bible says we can have access to God, our Creator. It says God's Spirit can live inside of us. Not that we have to go searching for another Spirit. God's Spirit can come and live inside of us, and we can know his power. He can forgive us for the rubbish, the things that tie us up, the things that we worry about. He can take that. He's dealt with that. But he wants to live in your life. He wants to be part of your life. He also wants you to know him as Father. The Bible says that we are adopted into his family. We are his sons and his daughters. So many people have identity crises. They're looking for who they are. They don't know who they are. God says, I want to be your father. You will be my son or my daughter. You don't need to have an identity crisis because you're mine. You know, God wants to give us that assurance. He wants to be a good father. He's not like, you know, we can have a good father. We can have a bad father on earth. But God, whatever your father has been like on earth, God is a good father. He wants to give you good gifts. He wants you to know that you are amazing. He wants to know that you can do it. He wants you to know that you have a great future, that he's with you every step of the way. He wants to build into your life, not take from it. He wants to make you a better person. He wants to make you a stronger person. He wants you to be able to do life in a better way. You know, so many people in our land, they take the name of Christian and they try to do it all themselves. They just try and be a good person. You know, I can just be a good person and work really hard, and maybe God will let me into heaven. You know, maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you feel like you're doing okay. Maybe you've got a job, you've got enough money to get by. Maybe you come to church from time to time, but you know what? God wants you to know this morning, there's something more than that. There's something more than just fitting it in and just doing life like that. You know, maybe, as I said earlier, you're just intrigued by the whole spiritual world. Then God wants you to know this morning that he's real and he wants to meet with you. You don't have to go looking anywhere else. He's right here for you. He wants you to be part of his family, to give you royal garments. Garments of joy and gladness, of peace and truth. He wants you to live in a life of victory.